Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, June 17th, 2010. I'm Rajiv Askana for immigration.com, Law Office of Rajiv Askana, PC. This is a community conference call which is being recorded. Anybody who does not want their voice to be recorded should hang up now. I suggest you keep your identities confidential because this call is being recorded and will be played by people. We have no control over any confidentiality. Participating in this call does not in any way obligate you to us as our client, and it does not obligate us to you in any way as your lawyers. This is basically just an information session. That said, welcome everyone. I'm leaving the call open because I don't think we're going to have too much problem with background noise. Everybody's pretty quiet. So with that said, I'm going to go over the questions one by one, and at the end of it, I'll stop and ask people if they have any related questions. And if there are any unrelated questions, we'll deal with them. I would like to leave a little early today, about 15 minutes early if I can, but I think we should be able to cover everything by that time. So the first question, Zozo000 says, when do you think Congress will take up the immigration reform? What is going to happen? It's very difficult to say, sir, but I did feel that there was a lot more sensitivity on the Hill towards people's legal immigration slide, where green cards were taking so long. So I don't know when they will take up immigration reform. People are predicting first or second quarter of next year. I don't know. There are all kinds of predictions. Most people feel that this year that we may not get to it. But I really don't know. I don't have any special information on this. Next question, DC immigration applied concurrently for I-140 and 485 EB-3. Okay, so the EB-3, they got an alien number, which is, let's say, A. Then they applied EB-2, and the alien number is B. Okay, does it mean my case is ported to EB-2? You cannot tell if your case has been ported from EB-3 to EB-2 by looking at alien numbers as far as I know. Okay, what you definitely need to do is make sure that the alien number B and A are correlated, and make sure that both cases. Folks, you may want to mute yourselves. You may want to mute yourselves unless you're talking to me. You just use your local mute. Okay.
Yep.
I think I'll just mute people. Just keep out. Okay, I have muted everybody for now. So you cannot tell from your alien number whether you've been ported over or not. I think the better thing to do is send a letter in the case with the BBB alien number that there is another alien number you've got, which is AAA, and similarly send a letter in AAA case that you have another case pending, which is BBB. So in other words, these A numbers should all be connected. Otherwise, there can be some confusion. Okay. The alien number is generated, I believe it is at the I-485 stage for most people, but there are other stages that it is also generated. I thought even during F1 EAD you have an A number. I don't remember exactly how it works. J1s definitely have an A number, as I recall, but for other people it is generated at the time of the 485 printing. Krishna67, again, comprehensive immigration reform, when is going to happen, what is going to happen? Krishna, I really don't know. I just answered that question. So wait and watch is my recommendation. I'm sure we'll figure it out eventually. Cool Raj 85, started working with a U.S. employer on a new H-1B visa October 1st. He was paying less than the LCA wage, so I filed a complaint with the Department of Labor. Investigator was assigned. The investigation is still going on. I'm back in India. Presently, I came back to my home country. I'm assuming it's India. Presently, I'm planning to look for a good employer to start working back on H-1B. My H-1B is stamped till September 2011. I have read in these forums that DOL investigation puts the person back into status. No, no, no. It does not put you back into status automatically. But you certainly have good grounds for asking USCIS's discretion to be invoked in your favor so that you can be considered to be back in status. So, in other words, it's not automatic. Just because you filed a complaint does not mean that you are automatically in status. Can I travel back to USA on my stamped H-1B visa and look for an employer? No, no. That would probably be considered to be fraud by USCIS. The reason is, when you use your H-1 visa to travel into USA, you are representing to the government that you have the job that was described in the H-1 papers still available and you're going to work on that, and you don't have that job. So that would definitely be a very, very bad idea. When I left USA, the airport authorities forgot to take off my I-94. You should surrender it, keep a copy of it, but you can surrender it at the consulate. Surrender it at the U.S. consulate. You can send them an email, find out what their local procedure is, but the I-94 can be surrendered at the consulate. There is also a number, actually an address, to which you can send the I-94. It's an address of CBP, Customs and Border Protection. Actually, if you go to cbp.gov, there should be a frequently asked question on this, which tells you which address to post the I-94 to. And if you, in any case, you can just send me an email if you want to know where to send, if you want to send it to USA. I'll be happy to share the addresses with you. Send me an email through the contact us form, okay? DOL investigation is still going on, but at snail speed. Would my presence back in the U.S. speed up the process? No, no. DOL takes its own time. They are typically going to go over the company's records for every employee for the last 1 to 2 years, typically two. Basically that's the way it works. Okay? Your best bet is to apply for a new H-1 through another employer while you're outside USA. You will not be subject to the quota since you've not been outside for more than a year. So go ahead and do that, okay? Next question, NVA Jinnah. Filed I-130 and 485 concurrently for both parents. They are in USA. Biometrics notice has come. So they have not, without getting the police clearance certificate, can they go on? If I remember correctly, I-130, 485 clearance does require a police clearance, unless they have lived here for a certain period of time. I don't recall off the top of my head what that time is. I am almost 100% sure that you should be required to get a police clearance. Okay, so it's a good idea to get that in hand. You want to double check this, you can call the customer service. Routine information like that they should have. So if you call USCIS customer service, this kind of routine information they can give you fairly reliably, but I think you should prepare to get police clearance certificate for both of them. Next question, Jasmine says, I am H-1B with valid EAD, got laid off, trying to get a job in another company, can't find anything similar, I'm getting offers in the accounting field, but still the job duties don't match. Salary is going from 85 to 60. Do I really need to file AC-21? Can I just start working with my EAD? You know, I have answered this question on my blog. If you go and check, we have a bunch of entries on AC-21 where we've discussed in detail that really there is no law that says you've got to file an AC-21 notice to the government, but it is the recommended practice in most cases. Because of a variety of reasons. However, in your situation, since you don't have a similar job, you definitely cannot file an AC-21 letter with the government. Now, is it legal for you to start working on a different job? The answer is probably not. It depends upon how aggressive you want to be. The aggressive approach or interpretation would be, look, I have an EAD, I have a 485 pending. As long as I have those two, I can do whatever job I want. The conservative approach would be, I want a job in my own field, even if I don't file the AC-21. As a practical matter, you need to produce a letter at some point showing that you have the same or similar job, that's when USCIS asks for it. When USCIS asks for it. They can ask for it under two postures. They can ask for it if your old employer revokes your I-140. USCIS will then send you, if they don't have an AC-21 letter on the record, they will send you a notice of intent to deny. And they'll give you a certain number of days, I believe it's 30, to produce a same or similar letter. Okay? Or they'll just say, you know, why should we not deny your 485? The other posture in which it comes up is routinely they send you an RFE close to the adjudication saying provide us fresh letters, employment letters. Okay? So, unless they ask you for it, what you do in the interim may not ever come up. I don't think it's illegal to do it. It's an aggressive way to handle it. If you were doing an accounting job, at that point, of course, unless USCIS asks you for employment letters, you are reasonably safe. But the moment they ask you, whether there's a notice of intent to deny or it's an RFE, they ask you for an equal or same or similar employment, you then have a certain number of days to respond. And you have to get a same or similar employment. If you don't, you stand to lose your green card. I hope I've made myself clear. Next question, IMHELPER, I am going to use my advance parole to enter USA. Are there any specific documents other than the advance parole do I need to carry? No. Advance parole and passport, that's all you need. It doesn't matter whether you've moved from East Coast to West Coast. Tax returns, pay stubs, don't need any of that. This is the second time I'm using advance parole. Would there be any issues? No. Why should there be any issue? Because you're using it the second time. I don't see any problem with that. Next question, Imi Rao. Rather a strange situation, currently working on H-1B for a company out of Pennsylvania. I live in New Jersey. Company had branch offices in New Jersey to which I was assigned. My perm was applied to the New Jersey branch. This branch was eventually closed. I was assigned to home office. So basically, you are living in New Jersey and working in your home office. Perm was certified. But my attorney says we can't file for I-140 since the branch office has been closed. I think your attorney is right, but rather than just close the case and forget about it, I would probably give two choices. One, I would say to the employer, if you want to reopen the branch office in a location close by with the normal commuting distance of the old office, that would protect your green card. And it's like the second option is I would at least make the argument that you know, you are working in a home office within that same area, therefore, you are still allowed to get your green card. I would try for that. I think it's a very weak argument. The stronger case is that the employer reopened an office close by. So, otherwise, you have to start the fresh perm. Okay? Normally, when we file perm applications for jobs that are frequently relocated, we always file from the corporate headquarters or the main place of business. We do not file from branch offices for the simple reason that if the branch closes or if you are moved away from that branch, it could be a cause for denial of your green card. Okay? Anyhow, that time is over. I think your future application should be filed from the corporate headquarters or main place of business. Number two, should the job location remain the same until green card is approved? Are employers required to maintain all branch offices? See, we don't even file through the branch offices. That's the reason. Is it possible to use a certified firm with the same job location and job description for a different employer? No, not anymore. Under the old law, we could do that. Under the new law, we cannot. Is it possible to apply for second firm from different location of same employer, same job description, and hold the priority date? No, the priority date will be gone. I would file the I-140 if there is a branch, or taking the argument that you still have an office, it's your home office. And like I said, it's a weak argument, but it protects you. If the I-140 is denied, you can then file an appeal, which will stay pending a couple of years, and during that time, you can be filing a second application as well as getting H1 extensions while the appeal is pending. So, remainder option for H1B, a little lost on the details, too many details. I'll try to figure this out, but the bottom line is, in the remainder option, this is the way it works. Let us say I was in USA for 1 year out of 3. At the end of the first year, I left USA. Now, 1 more year, I was outside USA. So, I had 3 years of H1. I worked here for 1 year. I left, went back to my home country. I've been outside USA for 1 year. Now, I've got total of 4 years of H1 left, with 1 year remaining on the current approval. I have to make a choice. If I want to come back to USA, I can either do a new H1 for 6 years, because I've been outside USA for 1 year, I've got 6 years back. Or I can just take the remainder 4 years. If I take the remainder 4 years, I then, it should be the remainder 5 years. Pardon me for that, because you were in USA for only 1 year. So if I take the remainder 5 years, I then have the benefit of not being subject to the quota. But if I want to take all 6 years, then I have to be subject to the quota. This is the way I understand it to work. Okay? So apply that to your situation. Can I get the remaining 3.5 years? You worked on H1B October 2005 twice for 6 months, another time for 2 years. On March 14, 2009, you left the country. So that means, and then returned to the country on B2 visa on March 11th. So I have not completed one year outside the country. You are eligible for remainder option. I don't see any problem with that. You still can get 3.5 years, actually maybe even more. Is there a deadline till when I can apply for the remainder option? No. I plan to go out of the country in September, then if possible, return on H-1B later. Yes, you should be able to. I also plan to apply for green card. Will 3.5 years be sufficient time? You see, if you apply for your perm, after 1 year, you become eligible for H-1 extension beyond 6 years anyway. So 3.5 years should be a comfortable amount of time. You don't need to reach the any required stage by that time. Just filing for the green card 1 year before the H-1 expiration protects you. Next question, one patience. I'm a derivative applicant with my spouse, currently working in US EB-3. November 2002, I hold H-4, which is good through September 2010. Lived in the USA, currently I live in India. I'm setting up a production unit. My spouse is H-1B and my H-4 is up for renewal this fall. H-4 renewal. I plan to visit the U.S. in July on H-4 and file for my H-1 renewal. My spouse's H-1 renewal was recently filed. If you apply for an H-4 extension and then leave USA before the H-4 extension is granted, it does not interfere with your green card process. One thing you have to watch out very sharply for is, if you let your H-4 lapse, your 485 will be deemed to be abandoned. So make sure there is no gap in your 485. If I were you, I would probably also get advanced parole. Your 485 is pending or no? Just 1 second. So that's not clear. Or 485 has not been filed, obviously. So yeah, then there is no problem. If 485 has not been filed, then there is no problem. You can apply for, actually you don't even have to apply for H4 extension. What you can do is, you can just get an H4 visa stamping based upon the husband's H1. So why even apply for an extension? That's the best option for you. Let him get his H1. Sometimes consulates can insist that he also get an H-1 visa stamping. But get your H-4 visa stamping done from the consulate in your home country.
Oh, your 25 is pending, it looks like.
I'm a little confused about this.
We have our LPR in process. Well, I'm assuming you have 45 pending. If the 45 is pending, then you've got to be careful because you must have no gap in your H-4s. So certainly apply for your H-4 extension while you're in USA. And if you leave, I don't see how that could cause you any harm. I'm trying to think of, this is a delicate issue. I would have you discuss it with your lawyers also. See if they suggest something different than what I do. Because this is such an important issue, and I haven't given it enough thought. I don't see any problem with it from the amount of time I've given it so far. You should be okay even if you left before the H-4 extension was granted. Okay? But double-check it with your own lawyers, please. Fingerprinting and biometrics in the LPR process. Fingerprinting has been done twice. In the past, we used to receive notice 20 to 30 days in advance. So if I'm outside USA, if such a notice arrives, you can always delay it. You can delay the fingerprinting. It's not a problem. You cannot just ask for a date that is suitable to you, but you can ask them to postpone it. Can H-4 fingerprinting be used for LPR processing? Well, you, by the way, you can't get any... so far, I don't know of any way you can do your fingerprinting outside USA for USCIS. You have to be in USA. And I don't know what H-4 fingerprinting you are speaking of, but you have to, if they call you back, you have to come back and do your fingerprinting. SM-001, question related to documentation to prove 3 months residency for N-400 application. Typically, they have not been asking for it, that you have to provide any documentation. But here, your pay slips, pay stubs, etc., the fact of the matter is you are living with somebody else, no lease, that's fine. I don't see any problem with that. You've got your I-9s, your I-9, your federal and state W-4 tax withholding, etc. I think you should be okay. Can I use my employment documents? By the way, there was also an interesting take on this by USCIS up until at least last year when I last checked on this. For this residency or domicile purposes, 90-day domicile, they will actually let you use the time that your application was pending with them, the N-400. So if your application was pending 6 months, they'll say, okay, well, we'll take 90 days out of those 6 months and see if you have the domicile already. So, they were very easy going about that particular requirement so far. I think you have enough evidence. You should be okay. User_local filed for my I-485. I-140 is approved. Got EAD. Continued on an H-1. Plan to get married in a few months, bring her on H-4. If I change jobs using EAD, then she's out of status. Then she's out of status. Because you've got to maintain your H-1 for her to maintain her H-4. But your I-485 is pending. I see your priority date must not be current, right? So the priority date is not current. Until then, she has to maintain either her own H-1 or she has to maintain her H-4 through you. And you have to maintain your H-1. LN-321, I'm a U.S. citizen. Girlfriend is Canadian. I'm a U.S. citizen. Girlfriend is Canadian. She's working in the U.S. L1A. Okay. Planning to get married. Something or the other comes up. Management of her job has changed. They're giving her a hard time. They want to pull her back to Canada. She wants to quit and stay. I have browsed the internet. We can get married using I-485. That's good. I-130, I-485, I-765, I-131 for traveling, advanced parole. Some questions. The L-1 is a non-immigrant visa. We knew each other before she entered the U.S. We began dating seriously right after. Will this count against us? No, not at all. L-1 is not only a non-immigrant visa, Alan. You can actually do a search on dual intent. Dual intent. You can run a Google on that. L-1 is also a dual intent visa. So be truthful to the government. Don't prevaricate. Don't try to make up things. Tell them truthfully. I don't see any problem at all. Do you need a lawyer? I don't think you need a lawyer. I mean, any lawyer would be happy to take your money. But if you can read English, you can file these forms, and of course, if you run into any difficulty, and if you have some basic questions, you can always drop me an email. I'll be happy to answer it for you. And if it's more complicated, we can either we can give you a formal consultation, or we can take over the case at that point. I don't see any reason for us to advise you to get a lawyer at this point in time. Application type, Alan, I cannot help you fill individual forms. That is probably legal malpractice. That's something we stay away from. But any general questions you have, feel free to drop me a line. I'll answer them to the best of my ability. And you can write to me through the contact us form. Okay? Good luck. Next question, PAR 310, I'm an H-1B with approved I-140 with X employer. 6 years completing, leaving, you have another job with new employer, Y. Can I have H-1B extended beyond 6 years for Y based upon I-140 for X? Yes. Yes. But if they revoke it, then you will not be able to get any further extension. As far as I could tell, I studied this law very carefully. And I also must warn you, it is my opinion, when I reviewed the law, that it is within the rights of USCIS to revoke an extension given to you once the I-140 is revoked. But they have never done so in the past. Is it legally mandatory for Employer X to revoke my I-140? No. But we usually advise our clients who are employers to revoke the I-140s because of certain corporate issues, because if they have 6 other cases pending and your case they remove, it's easier to prove ability to pay wages in other cases. It also is the proper thing to do if you don't want to be hired back and they don't want to hire you back. But it's not legally required. Next question, Dennis. AOS was denied. Submitted my application before visa number became current. I'm sorry, I have to apologize, sir. I don't do DV cases, so you are better off working with somebody who does. Typically, we stopped doing DV cases after the first year because it was my opinion that you don't really need a lawyer for most of these cases. So we stopped doing DV cases. I am completely out of touch. Next question, green card wait. I'm on H-1B with 6 years completing in 2011. They filed for green card in EB-3 in 2008. I-140 is approved. H-1 extension given on 2012. Now another employer are ready to transfer my H-1 and file for my green card in EB-2. They've asked me if I have my labor and I-140 approval. You don't have them. Employer has them. Is it possible for my current employer to not release my permanent I-140? Yes, if the employers want to be really mean about it, they can refuse to disclose it. Normally, if an I-140 has been filed already, you could try doing a Privacy Act request. If you go to USCIS website, go to Forms, and do a search for, actually as I'm doing it, I want to do it myself, make sure I'm giving you the right information. USCIS.gov. I went to USCIS.gov. I clicked on Forms, which is top left entry, and I said Control F on my browser, and I typed FOIA, FOIA. I don't think it found anything. It found something at the bottom. Okay, if it didn't find FOIA, let's try privacy, P-R-I-V. Yes, yes. Actually, when I typed privacy in my browser, it brought me form G-639. That's the form you need to file. It's a request for the, from you to the government to give you copies of all documents they have on you. This form does not require any fees. It's easy enough to file, G-639. File this form. You may be able to get a copy of your labor cert I-140 through this. Okay? This will be one thing to do. And simultaneously start negotiating with your employer if they'll release your, you know, paperwork. Now, what did I do here? Darn, I think I closed. Okay, let me get back to the site. Now, Is it possible for my employer not to release? Do I lose my priority date? You should not lose your priority date. Once your I-140 is approved, the priority date becomes your property. Even if you don't have a copy of the I-140 approval, frankly, I don't even know why you need a copy of the labor cert. Okay? All you need is a copy of the I-140 approval. I believe we have done priority date transfers even with your receipt number or A number, not having any other information. So it may be possible to do that. Discuss this with your lawyers. I don't see the necessity of a labor cert application. As, of course, as a careful lawyer, I would want to see it because I want to make sure that there isn't any information there that was presented which is either not true or which is incorrect or which needs to be explained. So if we find any such information in the old labor cert, we want to correct it in the new labor cert and make sure that we have a good explanation for it, prepare you for it, okay? Most cases, that's the only reason I need a copy of the labor cert. We are not doing an AC-21 portability here. If we were, we would need a copy of the labor cert, at least of the job description, salary, etc. Okay? So, let me get back to your email. Hang on a second, let me also grab a glass of water. I'm losing my voice. Getting back to your question. Oh, the priority date goes away only in 2-3 circumstances that I have seen. One circumstance is, I've looked at the law very carefully again on this, is if the I-140 was approved through fraudulent means, so if USCIS revokes it. Number two, if the old employer stops being in business, this is a very strange ground, and it does come up every now and then. If USCIS finds out that the old employer has stopped doing business, they will revoke the I-140s. And typically this has come up in cases where there were fraud investigations against the employer, and the employer either closed business and ran, or were found guilty of fraud. Then INS goes back and revokes all the approved I-140s. And that's when you stand to lose your priority date. But if the employer revokes the I-140, you do not lose your priority date. Okay? Yes, your priority date can be transferred onto an EB-2 case, even though the old case was approved in EB-3. So the priority date is employment-based category agnostic. It doesn't care which category is being transferred to. Can the new employer start my H-1B transfer process and only when my transfer is approved I quit my current job? Yeah, that's the right thing to do. Let them file your H-1B premium processing and you only quit if the H-1B is revoked. Is approved. I wanted to make this point. Be very careful because getting H-1B approvals is not a foregone conclusion. So therefore, you don't want to change jobs until and unless you know for sure that the H-1B has been approved. You can give 2 weeks notice. You know what can happen is, by the way, this is a question I get asked quite a lot. How do I give my 2 weeks notice? Well, there are two ways to do that. One is you can ask for start date with the new employer anywhere up to 6 months ahead of time. So if you apply today, you can ask for a start date with the new employer up to 6 months ahead of time. So you could say, I'm going to, today is what, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. You could go and say, my start date will be December 5th. That's fine. And that's the start date they'll give you. The second option is, and this is also perfectly legal, even though you have an approval from the second employer, you're not required to join them right away. The employer is allowed to wait, if you are in USA, they are allowed to wait for you up to 60 days anyway. You can continue working with the old employer. And if you want more time than 60 days, you can always send the new employer a letter explaining that I need another month to finish my project, another 2 months to finish my project. And I don't think that's illegal. And after you finish your project, you go and join the new employer. So there are two ways to do this, okay? Let's see. Can then 2 weeks' notice. Will somehow my current employer be informed of this H-1B request? No. No way that I can think of. Any news ideas on when the days will become current? I don't know, sir. Nobody can answer this question. Can I apply adjustment of status if after I get my job? You see, you can only apply for AOS if you still have the job that got you the I-140 or the employer is willing to hire you back and you have the intention to go back to them either right away or sometime in the future. But if that is not the case, then you really cannot file your AOS. I think we went a little bit further than I had expected. I thought we were going to get done a lot quicker today, but that's okay. I just wanted to make sure I covered some of these very interesting points that you guys raised. R. Malvari, can I file a new H-1B after 6 years finished? 2 years on EAD, H-1B from 2001 to 2008, 3 years renew, 3 years renew left time, another H-1B for different employer pending. Too many days, sir. I am not quite sure I follow what you're asking me. I actually reviewed all questions before I logged in. Your case has so many facts. I know that your 45 would have rejected 7 times, and then they finally accepted it. I'm not sure what you're asking. Old employers in jail. Currently out of status as per letter. New employer attorney filed appeal. Currently out of status as per letter. Also look at, by the way, sir, you need to look at unlawful presence, which is the bigger problem. Out of status, I don't get that concerned about. I mean, yeah, if you're out of status, you're deportable, it can raise other complications. But unlawful presence becomes a big problem. So make sure you're not unlawfully present in USA. Can I sue USCIS for 7 times wastage of money, etc.? No. No. Can I start H-1B again since I'm on EAD for 2 years? No, no. You have to be physically outside USA for 1 year if you want 6 years of H-1 again. I'm not even going over the rest of the facts because I don't think they are relevant to these two questions you really have. How can I fight in the court when no fraud involved, my case was wrongly denied? I don't know, sir. I really don't know your case. I don't know what the details are. But you should really speak with your lawyers. If you're not satisfied with them, you're welcome to do a second opinion from us. We'll be happy to go over your case with you. But this is not something I can advise you in a 15-minute call or a 5-minute call. I want to spend more time on reading your case and understanding what went wrong. Okay? Since you already have lawyers, if they are competent and you feel good with them, go back to them and discuss these questions. Okay? That's what I would recommend. Next question, Sastri GC. Namaste, Sastriji. To extend H-1B in one-year increments, the rule says an individual must apply for PERM 365 days before the expiration of 6 years of H-1B visa. Or does it say that individual must apply for PERM before H-1B visa is exhausted? This is a good question, Mr. Sastri. Before Bill Yates retired, I think it was 2 years ago, he gave us a New Year's gift. He gave us a New Year's gift. The New Year's gift was this. Earlier, it was the opinion of USCIS that 365-day rule that you mentioned, which I believe is Section 106 of AC 21, that Section 106 extensions can be given only if you are still on H-1. So, if you are on H-1, and we file for a one-year extension for you based upon 365-day pendency, it's good. But if there is even 1 day gap, let's say it's the 364th day and your H-1 expired today, tomorrow is 365 days, if I file for an H-1 extension tomorrow, they will deny it. You have to leave USA. That used to be the old law. And the grounds for that were because we are talking about extension. The word extension presupposes that you are on H-1. But Mr. Yates did a very fine thing. Before he left the government and retired, he gave an interpretation, a memorandum that said, we don't care whether or not you are on H-1, we'll still give you an extension once your 365 days are up. Now think about it. Let's say you are short 3 months of the 365 days. You go on H-4 because your wife is on H-1. So after 3 months, once 365 days are up, you can go back to H-1 and get 1 year extension and change the status. Or if you're outside the country, you can come back once the 365 days are up and you get your 1 year extension. So that's a pretty safe and pretty settled law. Is it possible that I'll be able to find this information in writing? Yes. This is a Bill Yates memorandum. It should be in December of one of the past 2, 3, 4 years. I don't remember exactly when it was. But in the past 2, 3, 4 years before Bill Yates retired, the memo was either given in December or first or second week of January of the following year, because I remember thinking this is like a New Year's gift for a lot of people. Okay, I think I got your question answered. Next question, Ms. John. What can I do for a letter of denial? So, sister's application was denied because of abandonment, but you were not in the country. Sir, what you can do is you can file a motion to reopen. I would recommend that you get yourself a lawyer. Okay? Because if your sister's case is basically you are a U.S. citizen, applied for your sister, the priority date is very important. If you lose the priority date, what is her priority date? I think you should get yourself a lawyer. A motion to reopen would have to be submitted, and I don't think you can do it yourself. If the priority date is important. If the priority date is just 2010, then just refile the I-130. Okay? But all the facts are not clear here, so I'm making the best guess. Well, folks, I was hoping to leave a little early today, but I don't think it's possible, so that's okay. Let's get to people's questions. I'm done with my answers here. Now, let's take any follow-up questions you folks have. Give me 1 second. Press *6 on your phone to talk with me.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Hello, this is N. Vajna Fuser.
Yes, ma'am.
I was calling in regard to the question about we filed green card for my parents.
Right.
And the question was about PCC certificate,
yes,
police
clearance. Yes. Yeah, police clearances are required for everybody, ma'am.
Okay. And I have another question is, if I apply for advanced payroll to go to India in between,
mm-hmm.
can I do that?
For your parents, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why not?
And if I apply for advanced payroll...
Let me ask you one question. They were
yes.
not out of status when you applied for their 485, were they?
No, they are not. We applied for 485 and 130 concurrently.
Uh-huh.
They are actually in the U.S. right now. They have, they got their fingerprints date for June 21st.
No, ma'am, stop. My question to you is, when you applied for their I-130, 485, were they still
mm-hmm.
in good status?
Yes.
Their I-94 was still valid, right?
Yes.
Yeah, applying for an advance parole is no problem. You can do that.
Okay. If I apply for payroll, will that green card process still continue?
Absolutely.
Okay. And if they once they apply for the payroll visa, can they go out of the country for like how long can they be out of the country if they want to go to India?
Throughout the life of the advance parole. I believe the advance parole is given for 1 or 2 years. I can never keep this straight. Whatever the duration is, for that duration they can stay outside U.S.
And when they are staying outside U.S. in the advance payroll, can the green card still be in process or will
Absolutely.
It be stopped?
Absolutely. The green card goes on without any interruption.
Okay. And when we apply for the payroll visa, do we need to, I know we have paid already for the I-130 and 485, the fees, And I, on the net, I read that once you applied for that, we've already paid fees for the payroll visa. So if we apply for payroll now, do I need to pay additionally, or how does...
I don't remember. I don't do forms. I have not filed a form in the last 20 years. There are people in my team who are experts at doing stuff like that. I only deal with the law.
Okay.
So you may want to contact INS, ask them. Basic questions like this, they are very good at answering. So you can just call their customer service. They should be able to give you that answer. It used to be earlier that everything had separate fees. And I know that somewhere along the line, a couple of years ago, they changed that. And so then everything was included in one fee. But the question is, if you have not filed for it at the same time as the 485, and if you do it separately, do you have to pay a fee? I do not know. So ask USCIS. Tell them, I-130, 485 is already filed. Now we are going to file an I-131. Do we have to pay a separate fee?
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Ma'am, you're gonna have to be very quick because I have a lot of people waiting.
Okay, this is my last question. When I apply for PCC, how long do you think it will take?
I don't know, ma'am.
And what about for payroll visa? How long for payroll visa if I apply for that?
Between 3 and 4 months is what I understand.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Rajiv, can you?
Hello?
Rajiv?
Hello?
Ma'am, go ahead. I hear you. Go ahead, please.
Yes. You see, I'm SOP who asked for the remainder option.
Yes, ma'am. I
have
that question.
Yeah, you know, few days before 1 year is over, between the old H1 stopping and trying to take up the new H1, if 1 year is not yet over, that is not advisable, right? Even I should have at least 1 year gap between the old H1 and the
remainder option applies whether you have less than 1 year or more than 1 year. It doesn't matter.
Oh, it does not matter even if it's less than 1 year?
It does not matter. You can still choose the remainder. It's not a problem.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, which would be preferred for the green card? Should I go on the remainder option or should I apply afresh for H-1B? What would you suggest?
I would take the remainder and come because I want you to start your green card as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you. And last question, if there are two employers and one is willing to do the thing on remainder option and the other one on the new cap, I should always go for the remainder option because the green card will be started sooner.
Absolutely. I want you to come back and get your priority data as quickly as possible.
Okay. Thank you so very much. You've been very helpful. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Hey, Rajiv.
Yes, sir.
Rajiv, can you refer to question 7, please?
What was the question? Remind me.
It was... I'm under I have EAD and 485 has been pending since 2007 under the EB3 category as a software analyst.
Right.
And got laid off for a month and tried to enter a job in another company. But I'm not trying to find anything similar. But because
it's an MCOM degree, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I remember the question. So what is your question?
So if I go out and work somewhere else because I'm getting offers in my accounting background. And salary might be reduced,
You see, I told you, what you do in the interim, if it is not questioned, if you want to be aggressive with your interpretation, I think it's legal.
Can you come again, please? I just
okay. Did you hear my answer? I recorded the answer. Did you hear my answer or did you log in later?
No, I logged in later. That's why.
Yeah, you see, don't make me repeat. That's not fair. Because I already answered your question. Listen to it. If you are not clear about it, feel free to send me an email.
Okay. Okay.
But I've already answered your question and quite detailed actually.
Okay. So it is okay. I mean, according to you.
Sir, it is workable, but go listen to my answer.
Oh, listen to your answer. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll have the recording posted by the end of the day.
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Folks, anybody else?
Rajiv, this is S1001. I had the question related to documentation for Freeman's residency?
Yes, yes. And I told you they're very easy going about that right now. At least that was my feeling.
Okay.
And in any case, you have enough documentation. You've got your W-4s, you've got your pay stubs, and, so I think you should be okay.
Okay, but the date that I joined and the date that I signed some of these forms, are different. I mean, meaning in the sense is I joined on the 1st, but I said I probably, the HR gave me the forms to sign probably on the 4th or the 5th. Is that still okay? I'm just giving you
it
like
should be okay. Minutes. It should be okay. And the reason I think it should be okay is also this. The time during which your citizenship application is pending, USCIS used to, I don't know what their current thinking on this is, because nowadays I actually check and double check and triple check everything every time I do something with USCIS. For the simple reason, this has become a government of chaos. We don't know what they are thinking this morning. So I like to double check on some of these fringe issues. But it used to be that, let's say I move to Maryland today, okay, and I file my N-400 tomorrow. Okay. Now, typically, I should not be allowed to file that because I was in Maryland. I just moved to Maryland. But if the application is still pending 6 months, USCIS would say, well, it's no big deal. Since the application was pending 6 months, you acquired domicile for the last 90 days anyway.
Understood.
Okay. Now, what I want you to do is, if in case you are just doubtful about it, contact your congressman's office.
Okay.
Let them find the answer for you.
I totally understand.
Okay. I wouldn't worry about it. It looks to me like you're okay. Because you're protected from two angles. One is that you actually moved on that day. And second, it's just a matter of proof. That's all you need to do. And second, because of that USCIS long-held interpretation, you might be safe.
Yeah. The only complication, I mean, just to add briefly, the only complication is the head office, again, Maryland office is local office, the head office is in Ohio. So I had to travel to Ohio immediately after joining. So that means the head office was where they processed my paperwork, and then I came back to the Maryland office. But
the way I would deal with it is this. The idea, the word that they use is domicile. Am I correct? The word they use is domicile, right?
That's right.
Domicile is a dual concept. It contains two sub-concepts. Present intention to remain indefinitely and actual physical relocation. Two things. So, I would argue that I intended to relocate and I actually did so. I came and dropped my briefcase in Maryland. I'm assuming that's the case. And then I went to Ohio. So, I established domicile on the day I put my suitcase down in Maryland. Okay. And then I went to Ohio temporarily for a day or two to fill out the paperwork. And then I came right back. Therefore, my domicile was established on the date I put my briefcase down. Or my suitcase down.
Understood.
Okay. See, in any case, you don't need to worry too much about it because what is the worst case scenario? They'll deny your application, you file it again.
Okay. So that means, and that's not going to become any stumbling block.
Not at all. As long as you stick with the truth, you have no problem. They deny your case today, you can file a second application today itself.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, anybody else have anything for me? Well, very good. Thank you for being here. I appreciate your time and being here. Bye-bye.